Welcome to the AI in Action podcast, the show where we break down the hype and highlight the practical benefits of data science, machine learning and artificial intelligence on our everyday lives. Subscribe to the podcast, check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud and any Android podcast of choice. Our guest today is Graham Betson. Graham is the lead of Innovation Labs at McKesson Cork. Graham, it's great to have you on the show. We've been meaning to actually speak for a while now. You've actually jumped on a train and come up to Dublin. So we're in sunny Dublin this morning. So great to have you here.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here, Mark. Thanks for inviting me. And sure, it's always nice to see the sun shining in Dublin.
Graham, for people that don't know McKesson, would you mind giving us a brief overview about what McKesson does, maybe some of the work that's happened in the Cork, a little bit about your current role and your current focus?
Yeah, of course. So McKesson are a global leader in healthcare, Fortune 7, over $200 billion in revenue. We serve almost 2 million customers on a daily basis in Europe, and we deliver almost one third of all prescription medicine in North America. Yeah, so based out of Cork, the talent acquisition team has done an amazing job sourcing the talent. And as a result, the Cork Hub have become McKesson's first enterprise technology hub outside the US, which is quite an achievement. And this has made us key players in agile transformation, leadership, innovation, design, developer services. And we also have functions in end user technology, information protection, intelligent SOC, IT, finance, GDPR compliance, etc. So me personally, I lead up the Innovation Labs. My primary goal is to develop a global strategy of how we innovate as a company. And part of that involves, you know, engaging with universities to see what partnerships are available, working with research centers to see how we can leverage their skills and expertise, working with third-party companies to see what solutions they have to offer with a name to either acquire or license them or work with them. Also then it's involved in kind of creating proof of concepts and using cutting-edge technology to look at new areas in which to focus on to either reduce cost or increase revenue. And that's looking at technology such as AI, blockchain, AR, VR, IoT, etc.
So tell us firstly a little bit of digital transformation that's kind of impacting McKesson and maybe the healthcare industry in general.
Yeah, so I think in terms of the digital transformation, it's been huge to how McKesson has done their business and changed the business over time. We've seen that the digital transformation has kind of blurred the lines between our business units. So it's allowed us to kind of grow slightly wider than maybe we wouldn't have previously thought. So we're getting closer now to the manufacturing side of things and also closer to the patient and the hospitals where we're running clinical trials and stuff like that. So it actually has opportunity of forming these interesting relationships as well, because a lot of the companies that we're partnering with at one time could have been our competitors. And there's also that interesting duality where we could be their customer and they could be our customer. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting now. It's kind of like frenemies, right? So,
exactly.
So the whole ecosystem has changed where you're competing in one vertical, but you're collaborating on the next because evolution of certain aspects they'll do better. You might be actually able to buy that in versus actually source it or use it yourself as well too. And that's the way of the world now. So I think companies that embrace that are ahead of the game rather than the previous win versus lose type scenario. So McKesson are applying AI, which we know well. So from the AI Awards last year, McKesson was a winner again, and some of the judges were very complimentary of the work that was happening in McKesson as well. Tell us a little bit about how McKesson is applying AI in order to solve some of the challenges that your business and people are actually facing, and maybe some of the challenges that you face and keep up to speed with the market dynamics.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a number of different parts of the business. As I said, you know, we're continuing to grow, we continue to acquire, we're across the whole life cycle nearly of the pharmaceutical side of things. So AI impacts nearly all aspects of our business. I think there's probably four main areas where we're kind of using AI at the moment. So if we take our retail industry, which would be the likes of our hospitals, our pharmacies, our clinics, we're trying to apply AI to look at behaviors, so not only buying behaviors but also then the supply chain management side of things, so trying to really understand what's needed at what time and how often people actually use it. In relation to our distribution center, so we have over 200 distribution centers alone in the United States, so we're looking at ways in which we can apply AI to our distribution side of things to increase efficiency, to reduce costs, to become more aware of how the pharmacies work with the data.
and how we can shift that across quite quickly, and how we can work with that data in order to understand how the distribution centers handle the information that they have. Then in relation to development, we're also working with kind of a concept of developer services, where we are looking at how the teams within McKesson globally develop applications. And what we're trying to do is come up with an approach to embed security, bake security in, best practices in at the beginning, and try to understand from an AI point of view, based on the resources, based on the use cases that we have, to automatically understand what type of projects that we should be working on. And then more probably in line with what we actually won the award for last year is in relation to the data. So, you know, healthcare itself, the data, the patient data is probably the number one priority, and especially for McKesson is the number one priority. So the healthcare industry is attacked twice as much as any other industry, and almost 90% of hospitals say they've had an attempted data breach within the last 2 years. So it's really, really beneficial to try and have parts of the business to secure this information that's going back and forth between these hospitals, the clinics, our oncology centers, etc. So we're using AI to try and understand how information comes in and out of our networks, how emails are sent and what type of emails are sent, in order to try and take care of phishing emails or malware, potential malware emails, and try to understand how we can combine that into business to secure the overall architecture of the business.
So there's a few different examples there. So when you actually think of somewhere like a CVS, you've got so many different products, let's say 10 to 20,000 products out at any one time, if not more. Some of those products might be dangerous, for example. So you need to be able to have a way to monitor those, to keep on top of those aspects. You mentioned about patient records. I only realized upon recently that the healthcare industry is, as you said, is attacked so much more, because a lot of the times, if they can find out if there's a celebrity in hospital, for example, that would be big news. Or if you found out what was wrong with that celebrity, or if you had that type of information, you could blackmail to hold people accountable for that, or people not taking their doses or drugs, for example, that they need to take. You could monitor that, or you could then try to take their prescriptions. There's fraudulent behavior in that. There's so many different aspects that people are actually using to generate revenue, generate money. And a lot of these breaches and hacks we never even hear about, because the ransoms are paid, or there's just challenges with that. So it's one of these systems in healthcare that, young or old, we're all going to use their facilities. So this impacts everybody.
Pretty much, exactly. And McKesson's motto is, you know, patient care is number one priority. And as you said, you know, it's scary, especially when you think of the medication side of things. You know, the reason why it's attacked so heavily as well is because the data that's contained within those records, and that information can actually be used to obtain people's medicine. So it's scary to think that, like, you could essentially have a digital twin that's going around with your information, taking your medication. And then it comes to when actually you go to try and get your medication, you're not getting the correct prescriptions because someone else has been using your information. And straight away then things are out of sync. So it's so dangerous if something like this happens. And in a lot of cases, it goes unnoticed. And that's the issue. It's very hard to understand if a breach or if information has been stolen.
Yeah, but if this happened to you, I'm sure you get such a shock and a fright, right? As well, which is so scary too. So we're talking a little bit about McKesson, the company, some of the challenges that it comes up across, and how it's actually applying AI to come up with solutions from that grain. And I mentioned briefly that McKesson actually won an award last year of the AI Awards, and actually was also helped us with a sponsor for the AI Awards as well, which was fantastic too. Maybe share with us some of the highlights from last year, and how come you've got involved in AI Ireland and AI Awards, and maybe what you're looking forward to this year.
So last year, I don't think we knew what to expect. You know, it was the first time it was run. You know, it's an award ceremony, a number of different categories, very interesting categories actually, and it's really interesting to see the applications of AI across many different industries and sectors. So I think from a day point of view, I think it was a really exciting day. As an awards, I don't think awards is actually the correct word, because I think it's more of a mini conference. You know, there's a number of interesting speakers, experts across many different industries. There's chance for networking. We actually did, I think the Four Hat Robot was outside as well, and one as well.
That's from the guys from Adapt, actually. Yeah, they did a great job there.
So you have the research centers there showing some of the work that they're working on. You have multinational companies showing some of the work they're on, universities, you know, so it's a real important mix of people. It's great to have everybody in the room at the same time to try and discuss similar problems, because we're all looking towards similar problems, we're all trying to find solutions, and to have that interaction, to hear some of the speakers talk about the impact of AI in the industries, and just to be in the room full of like-minded people, I think it was a really, really special day, and really looking forward to seeing what this year has to offer. I think from a sponsorship point of view, you know, and actually winning the awards, it's done incredible for our brand. As you said at the beginning, the McKesson brand probably wouldn't be well known, but we found, even from a talent acquisition point of view, that people were actually actively reaching out to our talent acquisition team to look for positions in the company based on the fact of the great work that we're actually doing, and came as a result of winning the award. So from a publicity point of view, I think it's really important as well.
Yeah, I think when we set out some goals for AI Ireland and the awards, part of the goals was just bringing different people together who are actually in the community and sharing different perspectives, because there's a lot of people working really, really hard, but on similar problems and challenges. So there's a good way just to bring them. Second is just to showcase some companies, large and small, who are applying AI to these challenges. And then from the talent acquisition point of view, people who are in the field of data science and AI, they actually get the opportunity to see some of these companies and actually try to take up their career opportunity within those companies as well. So that's really some of the goals that we're trying to bring with that. So it's always great to see that in action and getting the different people's perspectives from afterwards as well. But I think the networking, if you can just get one contact from the event, if everyone comes and introduces themselves and finds one contact that they can actually keep in contact for that next year or so, the synergies that can come from that will let it grow and grow and grow, and that helps build out the ecosystem for other companies looking to invest in Ireland and get involved here as well. Where do you see AI expanding across maybe other industries, and maybe a little bit added to that, some of the ethical considerations that we have to probably think about that as well, because there's so much growth in AI now, which is just so exciting, but it's also some ethical considerations that we need to take in for data governance as well. And you probably get to see this where you're leading an innovation lab, but then it's also to be mindful of the data, I suppose, repercussions as well, being taken into consideration.
Yeah, and like, the ethics is quite an interesting concept in itself. You know, even if you move earlier on before AI and even look at the likes of the terms and conditions that we agree to on everyday using software, you know, a lot of us don't even read them. And primarily down to the fact that they're so long, and even some of the large companies have been criticized over the last while for making them so long and illegible and ambiguous text, and trying to really make it hard to understand, because they want you to sign up for everything and you're basically signing all your data rights away. And I seen there's actually an interesting example of, I think it was a software company that had buried a $1,000 prize in their terms and conditions, and all you had to do was send an email to get $1,000. And I think it went 5 months and 3,000 sales before anybody actually emailed. So it just shows
that
you.
That is hilarious.
It's crazy.
That is hilarious.
It just shows you we don't know what we're signing up for.
So I used to write at the bottom of my long-winded emails to my staff, the first person to reply with the word yes will get a free day off. So if you got down to the bottom of the email,
you were doing well.
You were doing well, right? Brilliant. Yeah, there was pretty slow people to get back to. But in some ways, I was thinking the first people to respond are probably the people that probably want the day off faster than the people who are too busy to respond after a few days, right?
So the only thing, after a while, you'll probably just scroll to the end without even reading your email, because you know what to expect.
Yeah, that could well be the case as well.
And so then if you go on, so actually I think I read something recently from Google saying that the value of using Google is, essentially it's a $500 a year service, because that's the value that they place on the data that you provide. So if you don't pay for the service, you essentially are the service. That's the way I look at things. So people who don't sign up for things or say that the data has been misused, you know, you are the service if you don't pay for it. So it's just one of these things that we just have to accept. You don't put anything online that you don't want to be shared or you don't want people to see. So that's the way it is. And even if, well, if you want to extend that then to AI, so bring AI into it. So in October last year, there was an interesting story of a painting who went up for auction at Christie's Auction House in London. And the interesting thing about the painting was it was the first AI generated painting that was up for auction. And the story around that is that three French artists, I think it was, a group, I can't remember the name of the group now, but they used code from a Stanford University students, and we uploaded open source, and the students used, the French group used this code, created this painting, and the painting sold for $435,000, which was only expected to go for somewhere between $7,000 and $10,000. So it brings up this story again of who owns that painting. Is it whoever created the code, which is the student, or is it the group who used the code because they're the ones who used 150,000 paintings to feed the data in? And who's responsible for that? Who gets the money? And these, you see them so often, don't you? These challenges that we're facing, you know, and the concepts that are used in that painting story can, so the likes of GAN, so a generative adversarial network was used to create this, but that can be pretty much applied to any topic. So you could have music, film. So down the line, we will have AI-generated music, film, screenplay. Again, who owns this? And then if you want to take that step further to something that's more impactful, when we look at autonomous cars, you know, if an autonomous car has an accident, who's responsible for that accident? Is it the person who created the code? Is it the manufacturer of the car? Is it the person who designed the roads?
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors. The reality with autonomous vehicles, though, is that 1.2 million people die on our roads each year. Mm. Vast majority of those people come from India and China. So there's probably been a handful of people that have died from Uber, Lyft, or different trials on that.
Yeah.
So no way am I saying that's okay. Mm. However, there's a major challenge that needs to get solved with autonomous vehicles. And the statistics show that autonomous vehicles will actually be safer.
Be safer, of course.
So we probably just need to kind of move away from the trolley problem and actually look at the wider issue, because 30% of those deaths come from inattentiveness at the wheel as well. So there's some real challenges around that.
Oh, there's no doubt that it actually does improve. And the more, the thing with these type of systems is the more they're used and the more other people use them, the better they become.
Yeah, because the training data changes. So our guest today is Graham Bateson. Graham is the innovation lead at McKesson Cork. Graham, just our final question. Tell us a little bit about how we prepare for the next wave of AI.
I think, you know, if you look, if you hear the industry leaders and the experts talk, you know, I don't think anybody fully knows what's going to happen in terms of when we really reach the peak of AI. Are we going to lose jobs? Is there going to be mass unemployment? In terms of kind of going back to how we create AI, if you look at some of the work that Professor Barry O'Sullivan's doing out of UCC, he's actually vice chair on the European Commission High Level Expert Group, and they're developing this kind of ethical AI approach, a number of different documents around the society of effects, the regulations, the policies around that, and they've actually just released one last week. So they're actually trying to lead the way in terms of how we develop AI. How we prepare, you know, we are listening to the likes of Bill Gates, who's trying to bring in robot tax, you know, to try and, if we do hit mass unemployment, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with people not having anything to do during the day? How do we deal with people not having a meaningful life? You know, this robot tax is one way in which they're trying to solve, but that obviously has its own challenges. Like, what is a robot? What do we consider to be a robot? Taxes in different states, different countries. Does it, if we have tax in one state, does it mean that, or one country, does it mean that that work will go to another country? So there's a lot of considerations around that. I think there's a couple of interesting places AI can be kind of introduced. If you look at the likes of biometrics is one. So we're a lot more familiar with biometrics now because it's the fingerprint scanners on a phone. But if you look at the likes of Saudi Arabia and stuff, if you buy a phone over there, you have to actually scan your finger. So they're trying to build up a database of fingerprints. They've actually quite interestingly given Sophia the robot citizenship, which again brings its own challenges and its own ethical considerations over there. Some countries in Europe, like Hungary, are trying to generate this EID, so a unique identifier that's based with your biometric sensor data. And banks, you're seeing banks now, like Barclays, are trialing finger fane scanners to try and reduce pins. So as this information becomes more and more closer to us, and even if you look at the likes of the VP of technology from McKesson, Dennis Canty, who became the first cyborg in Ireland last year, you know, all this information is coming closer and closer to us from our biometric data and also inside us. So what ethical considerations do we have to consider then when all of a sudden we don't need to carry keys, we don't need to carry cards? Yeah. And what security implications does that also?
I remember there when Dennis actually on live on stage inserted it into his
hand. At the Tech Summit, yeah, in Cork.
And it was quite funny. He now can walk into work and use his hand to swipe in rather than actually use a card, or go to the gym and swipe in without using a card as well. So it's really fascinating the impact that it can have. And it's important with these ethical considerations and things to be mindful for that we have a lot of different people's perspectives in the room rather than, a typical white person who's 30 in flip-flops in San Francisco creating a lot of these different algorithms, rather than actually taking into consideration the community we actually live in. And is
brings
kind
up
of,
the bias. Conversations.
Yeah, we could be doing 10 podcasts on these different aspects as well. Graeme Betson, Lead of Innovation Labs at McKesson Cork, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Now in its second year, AI Ireland, in collaboration with principal sponsor Microsoft, present the AI Awards. Come join us at the Gibson Hotel on the 20th of November 2019 and see the best that Ireland has to offer in AI and data science. To find out more, head over to www.aiawards.ie/tickets. That's www.aiawards.ie/tickets. Please feel free to reach out to me at mark@aiawards.ie.